How's it gonna feel spending your birthday in Miami without your wife?
Hey, I asked for permission. She said it was cool. I have no
she
feelings.
Was in Miami?
Huh?
She know was in Miami?
What do you mean? What's in Miami, man? Got him. What's there? Palm trees?
Water?
Water?
Scantily clad women?
Really? Shit, that's everywhere.
What are you going to Miami for, Mike?
I'm going to go watch the Dallas Cowboys embarrass me.
On the road.
They're going to embarrass me. That's what I'm going. I'm going to get embarrassed. All right. I'm going to see the Dallas Cowboys play the Miami Dolphins on Christmas Eve, which is happens to be a day before my birthday. Yes, I am a Christmas baby for anybody that don't know. Well, me and one of my homies, you know what? I had this idea like way in the summertime when I looked at the schedule. I was like, man, that'd be dope to go. And I looked at the schedule. I said, that'd be dope to go to Miami to see the Cowboys play Christmas Day. And I kind of like just threw it out there. And then like nobody really like baited on it. So I kind of like left it alone. And then you know, one of the homies was just like, yo, you serious about going to Miami? I was like, shit, I get it. My homie, he's married. You know what I'm saying? He has a child. Mm-hmm. Which I'm married with a child. And he was just like, and he's been to Miami before. So, you know, he's kind of like the tour guide. Because we're flying out Friday evening. So I have a whole Saturday to kick it. And then Sunday is the game. And then I'll be back Christmas morning. So he's kind of like gonna tour guide it or whatever like that. But he hit me and was like, yo, you serious about going to Miami? I'm like, I mean, I'm serious if you serious, I suppose. So he kind of like nudged me into it. Cause I kind of was like semi-serious about it or whatever. And at first we were like, you know, like, yeah, you want to take the family down there, you know what I'm saying? Get an Airbnb and all this shit like that with the kids and do Christmas there in Miami. I was like, if we go to Miami, bro, I'm cool with it just being right there and back. We got to do all that. I feel like too much, you know? So, yeah. But that's where I'm going. I'm going to the game. I'm going to see a football game, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing else. The permission slip was signed, all right? It's cool.
You seen Old School?
Have I seen Old School?
Will Ferrell, Luke Wilson?
No, I haven't seen that.
Seen Old School?
I might have, although I can't remember.
Will Ferrell going streaking? The Fraternity?
I'll put that on my homework list.
My Boy Blue? You ain't never seen Old School?
Let me put that pull on
up,
my list.
Pull up the... Just search out Old School so I could be sure. Look at the cover to make sure that you've seen it or not.
Nah, I haven't seen this, but this looks like this is something I need to see, though. Nah, I haven't seen this, man. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Oops.
We're losing recipes out here, man.
Oh, man. But how does that tie into to this?
Watch the movie. You'll understand.
Okay.
Watch the movie, you'll understand.
I bet.
Anytime I go anywhere with the homies, I think in my head, I say, don't go Frank the Tank.
Okay.
Whatever you do as a married man, go kick it, have fun, but don't go Frank the Tank.
Okay.
It's fun, but it don't work out in the end.
Okay.
But don't go full Frank the Tank, man.
I'll keep that in mind.
Some dude, 187, I think it is. 187, put a gun in your mouth, fool. Oh. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Digital is the home. So make sure you go ahead and follow them as well. Listen to some of the other podcasts on the network as well, including First Black Champ. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to hold you. Ruthless Aggression. King's Landing. And some of the other great podcasts that's on the show. Go ahead and get started. First off, I want to apologize to you.
Okay.
I want to apologize to you because on last week's episode, talked about bad juju. And I was saying like, no, man, talk your shit, Mike. You was like, Now, I did believe that the Dallas Cowboys was going to lose.
And that's okay. And that's okay.
They was on the road.
And, you know, like I said, like, it shows that we don't play well on the road. So I understand. I understand.
I didn't think what was going to happened, though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was going to be an ass whoop.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll even go further, Mike, and I hope that I'm not stabbing, you know, opening up the wound a little bit more. But one like Josh Allen, like 7 for 15 for 94 yards.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if you watch that game, the score really doesn't reflect kind of like how the outcome of the game, like how did the game actually played out somewhat. Because, yeah, Josh Allen did much of nothing. But Dalvin Cook's little brother, you know, he pretty much did all the work.
And didn't get the game ball. That was probably.
Yeah, how was that? Who got the game ball?
Josh Allen.
Really? For what?
Yeah, I don't know what they do to give out game balls.
Yeah.
And shit like that. But if I was James Cook and the coach gave that game ball to Josh Allen
for that
and everybody
game,
clapped.
Yeah, I would feel
oh, no, I've been like, no, nah, hold on, fam. What? Whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on. Buddy ass. No. I'm sorry. I am a Josh Allen fan, except for the time he cost me $10,000.
I remember.
But when no way in hell he was supposed to get that game ball, he should have got that ball. I'm like, nah, this ain't for me, coach. This is for James.
Yeah.
Let James cook. Here's the ball. Nah, coach. That was foul, fam. I don't give a damn if it was a mistake or not. That was foul. All right. The man was 7-14, 94 yards. James Cook had more rushing yards than that. Stop playing.
Yeah. But it's a lot of things to peel. It's a lot of layers to peel back from that game. I mean, Dak didn't play his best. Obviously, we've been having Dak MVP conversations. But I also don't feel like that game is, like, on Dak. That wasn't like a Dak played bad or anything like that. The defense – what I'm saying is that, yeah, Dak didn't perform, you know what I'm saying, up to par, but he didn't really get an opportunity to keep his team in the game because the real Dallas Cowboys showed up. And when I say the real Dallas Cowboys showed up, I go back and I go back to playoff games against the 49ers as of recently, last season, year before that. When I watch the Dallas Cowboys and when Stephen A. Smith cracks jokes and he talks about, like, when, like, you know, waiting on something bad to happen happens, like, you know what I'm saying? It happens. Like, you know, no matter how good you think the Cowboys are doing, how far you might think they go, might go, something bad is going to happen. And it's not necessarily have to do with, you know what I'm saying, the other team just – pouncing on them and beating them. It's the Dallas Cowboys beating themselves. And I think in this sense, I think the Cowboys hurt themselves and didn't give Dak in the offense an opportunity to go out there and actually put points on the board because the defense stayed on the field too long with penalties. And this is one of the main things that is the problem. The Cowboys this season are the most penalized football team. And we have been the most penalized football team in the top two, top three for the past 3 to 4 seasons under Mike McCarthy. Most penalized teams, mental bust. That's the key here. You have three personal fouls, flags called on you in key moments of the game, all on third down or fourth down when you're about to punt. You got a roughing the kicker. You got a roughing the passer. And then you got, You got unnecessary roughness. All of these flags are called on third down and fourth downs. Opportunities to either have the Buffalo Bills settle for a field goal or for us to punt, or for them to punt and for us to get the ball back. But on all three of those possessions, the drives continued and touchdowns were the results. That can't happen. That can't happen. And those are the things that have killed the Cowboys year in and year out in these playoff games, in the games that matter. Now, with that all being said, I would hope that these are the things, like, the Cowboys, I don't think the Cowboys came in that game unprepared. I think they were ready. I think that game could have been closer, even if they did lose. But it's the mental aspect. You got to go out there. We know what the Cowboys are physically capable of doing. We know that they could create turnovers. We know that Dak has been playing at an MVP level. We know that this team can go out there and, you know, put up 40 points a game and all of that shit like that. We know. But that game right there, it had playoff atmosphere all over it. You know what I'm saying? On the road. It did. On the road in a unfamiliar environment with bad weather. You know what I'm saying? That's what the playoffs is going to look like. Because 9 times out of 10, if you don't win the division, well, obviously, if you don't win the division, you don't get a home game. So you're going to have to play on the road when you're a wild card team.
So it's biff right now.
That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be in that atmosphere. So that was a game where they have to get the mental aspect down. They have not can't go out there and get penalties called on them in key moments of the game. That's what's going to keep us in those football games. All right. Especially when you're not favored. They weren't favored to win that game. So
because they was at home. They wasn't at home.
They weren't at home and they played bad on the road. So that's what I look at when I see that game. I don't necessarily feel like we went out there and got our ass kicked, even though they did, but I feel like they got their ass kicked 31-10. Yes, but I feel like the game just got out of reach because of the dumb. Just got away from them, not because they weren't physically able to make shit happen. It's because penalties, mental. That's what I'm concerned about for the Cowboys. So if you ask me, Mike, do you believe in this team to go far? I don't know. That's why I come on here every week and I say week by week. But I'm happy that this happened because I want the Cowboys to really look. I hope Mike McCarthy is just like, hey, guys, we need to focus on the mental aspect of the game. We got this shit physically. We could put up 400 yards a game. We could score 40 points. We could create turnovers. We could do all of these things to be a great football team. But it's mental. You have to show discipline. It has to be discipline, okay? You have to show some type of discipline on the defensive end of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to penalties, making dumb mistakes to keep the opposition in the game. That's what needs to be done. So that's my assessment of this right now. Of that game.
I feel you, Mike. I still believe that you should talk your shit more about your team. But I understand why you hold back.
I'm gonna keep holding back, Bang. We have another road game coming up. We got the Dolphins on the road. Obviously, it's a winnable football game. I believe so. I believe it's a winnable football game. I mean, on the road. Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys aren't getting completely shut out on the road. We've won three games.
Good teams. Now it's going to be two teams. The interesting part about this game, Mike, is that two teams that have good records that get shitted on because of their record against bad teams.
Absolutely.
Are going against each other. Mm-hmm. So something's going to have to give between your Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins.
I could see this game being something similar to the game against the Seahawks, a shootout type of game. I could see 30 points.
Oh, I hope so, especially if Tyreek Hill is going to play.
Yeah.
This better be for the sake of my sanity and for fantasy football. Absolutely. Because I got Tyreek Hill in two leagues.
Okay.
I need this. And I am this is playoff time for me. Now I'm playing.
Yeah.
No, now I'm playing, Mike.
So, I mean, Tyreek Hill, obviously, he hurt the ankle against the Tennessee Titans, and he didn't play this past week. So, I'm pretty sure he's listed as questionable. I can't see Tyreek Hill not playing in this game, especially since, you know, him and Michael Parsons had the little back and forth, you know, at the beginning of the season. And, you know what I'm saying, they kind of like bookmarked this game and, you know what I'm saying, shit like that on their podcasts, which I still continue to hate Michael Parsons doing a podcast week in and week out right after football games, get on there. And then he just want to, oh, so concerned about what the media has to say about them. Like, that just disgusts me. I actually went on there and watched like the first 15 minutes and just listened to Michael Parsons rant about the media said this about us, the media said this about this, and da 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 da. Who cares, bro? Who cares?
Obviously, Michael Parsons cares,
and that's a problem for me, and that will continue to be a problem, that you can get on this microphone after losing a football game and just complain about what the media had to say about y'all losing the football game. Like, I don't understand that. I can't wrap my mind around that right now. Like, I don't even understand how Mike McCarthy can, like, approve that shit. Which probably, obviously, I don't think he could say he can or he can't, because I'm pretty sure Bleacher Report is paying him to do that. So I don't Mike McCarthy can stop Michael Parsons from getting a bag, you know what I'm saying, for doing something off the field. So, but still, I hate the fact that he does it. And he gets on there and, you know, complains about the media saying this and the media saying that about him and shit like that. It shit is just corny to me. But, yeah, but I would hope that this is going to be a shootout type of game. The Cowboys could go in here, outshoot the Dolphins. I feel like the Cowboys have a better defense. And if you've watched the Dolphins this year, yeah, they're 10-4. They have a good record. They won some games. But Tua can turn over the ball. You get the Tua and create the turnovers, and I think that's how the Cowboys pull it.
Yeah, home, Mike.
It's gonna be nice though. The weather's gonna be nice. All right, I think that plays a factor. All right, we're gonna get some nice weather.
Y'all thirsty ass fans, your thirsty ass people be when they go to Miami.
I don't know, bang. I don't know how that works. Okay. I don't know. I'm not aware. Not aware. But we'll see though, bang. So I mean, I don't
want them to ruin your birthday, Mike.
It's okay if they do. I'm just happy to be there. I'm there for the experience. If the Cowboys win, it's a bonus.
But you're there for the experience.
I'm there to create moments in my life.
To create moments.
Bang. Yeah. You went to Miami. Did you go to Miami? You went on a cruise.
I did not go to Miami to create moments. I went to Miami to work.
This is work.
You say you want to create moments. What moments?
Working is creating. Like, I'm going to another Cowboys football game. Work. That is a moment. Yeah, sure.
I'm media. I can go
there and ask for a media pass. One day media
You're going to be in the press box.
I host the podcast. Let me in.
My man said he's going to Miami to create moments. Boy.
Not like that.
Your wife don't listen to the pod, do she?
Nah, but she can probably hear me though.
I hope she don't hear this part.
This is a bucket list right here, bro.
I'm going to Miami to create.
Check this out. Every Cowboy game I've ever been to, they've won. That's a good thing. I've been to two Dallas Cowboy football games. One where they were here at Soldier Field. And that was 2014, I think. And they won. It was cold. It was in December. And then I went to Dallas. Both Cowboys games I've been to, they played the Bears. And I went back in 2016, Dak's rookie year. And when he took over for Tony Romo. And they played the Bears that year at Jerry's World. And they won. So I'm 2-0.
I went to Dicker Day game.
I remember that. I didn't go to that game. But I was at Hooters.
I went.
With a bunch of coworkers. And they killed me because the Cowboys got their ass whooped.
Yes, they did in the cold. So I am 1-0 in Cowboys games.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. See, so we 3-0 together.
Look at that. You know,
Cowboys win. Well, that's a prediction.
Well, I mean, you got your ass whooped in Buffalo. I suffered a terrible loss in Cleveland. Like to say, you know, shout out to Matty Wills. Shout out to SP. Shout out to Matt Myers. Shout out to Zach. Shouts out to the big cousin Sam Silk, who's in Cleveland. Shouts out to everybody that I've ever come across in Cleveland. That loss was painful, Mike.
I can imagine.
That was probably one of the most painful losses in my history as a Bears fan.
Really?
And yeah. Yes. That was probably top because we were up again by 10 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And, you know, you win this game, I'm thinking you could run the table 9-8. Mm-hmm. Might make the playoffs, might not.
Okay.
But the reason why it was so painful, because it may mark the end of Justin Fields in the Chicago Bears uniform.
Okay.
Now, anything could happen between now and April 25th when the draft happened. Season is not over with. The combine ain't happened yet. You know, private workouts have not happened. Hell, the Carolina Panthers won a game. But man, for me, after that game, it felt like this is officially Justin Fields' farewell tour.
Okay.
I don't blame the game completely on Justin Fields, y'all.
Okay.
But, man, when you look at Joe Flacco, who I'm 2 years older than, and he outplayed you, and he threw three interceptions. That's bad.
Yeah.
Did Luke Getsy have the best game plan? No, Darnell Mooney said that after halftime, they came out, you know, too comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And for an offense that struggled, there's no way in hell you should come back comfortable. But I felt that Justin needed to run the table to start the conversation. And that's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, can he outplay Kyler Murray on Sunday? He should be able to. You know, Desmond Ridder, Tyler Heinicke, he should. And then the last game of the year, you go up against Justin Love and the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. But my issue is a little bit far-reaching for me. The reason why I was so disappointed, because if this is the end of Justin Fields or the start of the ending of Justin Fields in Chicago, Justin Fields is probably the most talented quarterback drafted by the Bears, at least in my day.
Yeah,
I started watching football in 1987. So it kicks off with Jim McMahon, you know, Mike Tomczak, Jim Harbaugh. And I could add a couple of names, won't go into a whole bunch of names, but I have to watch people like Peter Tom Willis, Moses Moreno, Will Fuhrer, Shane Matthews, Jonathan Quinn, Craig Krenzel. I got to see Kyle Orton, who was pretty decent in the Bears uniform until they traded for Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is probably the best Bears quarterback that I've had in my lifetime.
Okay.
He wasn't a bad quarterback. But when we drafted Justin Fields, man, and I don't even like Ohio State like that, but I was like, oh, man, we got the most talented quarterback we'll ever see in this Bears uniform. And the bar is low. And we weren't successful with him. It's bad. That sucks. Especially if he does not return to Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears got the number one pick in the draft. I ain't gonna lie to you. I got a feeling once the draft gets here, I just got the strangest feeling Drake May is gonna be the number one pick in the draft. Just a feeling. I think when you start going through the interview process at the combine, whether the quarterbacks throw or not at the combine, private workouts, you know what I'm saying? The team workout. I just got a feeling Drake May is going to edge out Caleb Williams. And with that feeling, man, I'm with DJ Moore. See, here's the thing that I know my feeling ain't. I know my feeling is true. And I said this on, I ain't gonna hold you, I'm gonna say it here. The best players on the Bears roster spoke out in favor of their quarterback. DJ Moore said that Caleb Williams and Drake May ain't better than Justin Fields. And then he doubled down on it the next day. Your best player on defense, or at least your second best player, because Montez Sweat then came in and took over. But Jalen Johnson went on the radio and basically told the press, don't bring your thoughts on what we should do with our quarterback on us. We love him. Everybody in this locker room fighting for him. We believe that he is the future. If you don't believe he's not the future, then you shouldn't be here. That proves to me that it ain't no doubt in the team, but that's them letting the front office know that we feel like we got the quarterback of the future.
Now, do you think those words are going to carry weight?
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Okay. Do you think those words carry weight to the front office?
They don't give a fuck. And to keep it a buck, why should they? Why?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they got to do what they feel like is best for the team. And quite honestly, man, love DJ Moore to death. And DJ Moore is the best wide receiver that I've seen in the Bears uniform. After what? Was it 13 games or some shit? Like 14 games. He's the best wide receiver I've seen in the Bears uniform.
Better than Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, because Brandon Marshall was a tweak.
Okay.
In my age, he's a tweak. Oh, he's weird. great wide receiver, but he's weird to me. Yeah. Nah, man. Hey, look, low key, man. DJ Moore got a tradable contract. When DJ Moore signed this contract, it was good for him and the market. But now that shit in the middle of the market, basically. DJ Moore got a tradable contract. I don't think they'll trade him.
I was about to ask. I was like, is him and Justin out the door?
Put it to you like this, fam. The two people that spoke up, one is a free agent that they might franchise. The other one is a dude that you brought in and has done very well, but he got a tradable contract. If you that dead set against Justin Fields, fam, we could go trade y'all for some assets. And get assets. That's the crazy part about this. See, the Bears is one of the most terrific yet stressful positions ever in the NFL. Fairly decent team. This team should be, after this game right here, this team should have won 8 games this year. The Bears should have 8 games because they won 5 and they lost 3 themselves. Matt Eberflus is the first coach in NFL history to have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and lose them all 3 games. This team should be 8-6, whatever it is. They should have won 8 games.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the number one pick in the draft, possibly. This team has already, to me, proven that they don't necessarily need to go get Caleb Williams or Drake May. But circumstances might deem it so, unless somebody says, yo, we'll give you 3 first round picks and another pick for that number one. But when they know your back against the wall, how you know you're going to get that and negotiate? Mm-hmm. If the Patriots end up with the number 2 pick, they don't need it. The Arizona Cardinals don't need it. The Washington Commanders, which is my pick to click here, you know, do they jump out? They might not have to, because they might believe in Sam Howell. And they might say, yo, let's just get some offensive linemen to protect him.
Didn't they just put in Jacoby Brissett this week?
They did. I'm just saying, they might. They might not. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they off him.
I think they offering. I'm going to continue saying this again. I'm going to say this one more time. If I am the Washington Commanders, I'm bringing them home. I'm bringing them home.
You bringing who home?
Caleb.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing them home. Caleb Williams is from D.C. That team needs to make a splash after they fire Ron Rivera. And they sit at 4. Do you draft the tackle? Do you draft Jalen Daniels? Or do you bring the homie home? Do you bring the kid home? Do you bring Caleb Williams, who's from D.C., who went to Gonzaga? Do you bring them home? I think you bring them home. Washington, don't you want to give up 3 first round picks to move up to number 1? Don't y'all want to do that? To bring Caleb Williams home?
Bang, is this like a dream scenario for you, or this is like something you feel is really realistic?
I'm talking to Magic Johnson. I'm talking directly to Magic Johnson. Irv Buck. Josh Harris, the new owners of the Washington Commanders, don't y'all want to get Caleb Williams? Don't y'all want to bring him home? 3 first round picks, Jack. Let's make it happen. Y'all already got Scary Terry, Josh Dotson, Curtis Samuel. Y'all good at the wide receiver spot.
Y'all just need somebody to throw him the ball, huh?
Yeah, you need somebody to throw him the ball. You can get a tackle in the second round, using the pick we gave you for Montez Sweat, who leads your team in sacks, by the way. Oh, guess what? He leads us in sacks, too. You see how it worked out? Washington, bring Caleb Williams home. Y'all don't want Jalen Daniels. Y'all don't want Drake May. Y'all want the hometown hero. Y'all trying to get a stadium in there too? But what better way? What better way of showing that y'all care about the city by going to get one of the kids from the city? Bears, we could get a left tackle at that 4th spot. We might not get Marvin Harrison, y'all. But we could pick 4th and 5th back-to-back. Malik Nabers, we need another wide receiver. Welcome to Chicago. We can get a left tackle if y'all don't believe in Braxton Jones. Olu, Joe Alt, come on home. Washington, let's make a deal. 3 number ones and just give us 2. Or just give us a 4. As a matter of fact, let's just 3 number ones and a 4th for that number one pick. Y'all draft Caleb Williams, who's from D.C. again. And we get them picks. Magic, call me. Or call Ryan Poles. Josh Harris, call Ryan Poles. Let's make a deal.
Look, Magic, call Bang. Bang. I call Scott. Scott could talk to Ryan Poles. That's how we go do this, all right?
And then
this will be a Barber's Chair Network connection right here, all right? We're going to make this happen.
Mike, wouldn't you want to bring the hometown hero home? He from the area. He from the district. Gonzaga Prep. Come on, man. Stop playing. Stop playing.
Man. And ladies and gentlemen, this is your weekly Chicago Bears update. It changes. It changes weekly.
Three number ones for that number one pick.
Just last week. Just last week, we was talking about running the table. This week, we're talking about trading three first round picks to the Commanders. My. This has been a one crazy football season.
Now, look, man, it was a couple of plays, man. Look, the shoestring tackle, something told me that was an option. Because DJ Moore's was wide open. If Justin stops and throws the ball, that game is over with. Because that's a touchdown. That's seven. But when you think about it also, if he don't trip, he probably scores too because there wasn't nobody over there. Mm-hmm. It's just, man, when you start hearing everything, when you start hearing all of this stuff about Justin and everything, and you lose a game like that, and then that Hail Mary, oh, my God.
No, wait. Rewind back to the Robert Tonyan drop, though. Why is Robert Tonyan running deep routes, first of all? But at the end of the day, he was still wide open. He's an NFL professional football player. I don't care what position you play or what kind of routes you're used to running, because obviously Robert Tonyan's a tight end, and he's mostly used to middle of the field type catches, not up the seam, wide open type catches.
Mike, nah, man, that shit fell dead in his hand.
That's what I'm saying. I don't care about what you're used to. You're a professional football player, a professional offensive football player. You're supposed to catch that.
Washington. Three number one.
Washington, but nah, man. Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal, man. But nah, when you hear all this stuff, man, and it's good seeing the players fight for Justin and say, nah, we want him here. But at the end of the day, the GM ain't going to listen to you. To be like, yo, what you think when they feel like that. And I said it on the show too. And I say it here again. If Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, if y'all got a similar grade now, like you look at Justin now and you look at Caleb Williams now, and if Caleb Williams is just below or even with Justin Fields, you got to go get Caleb Williams. If Justin's here and Caleb is here, you go stay with Justin. But if it's here, like if they're neck and neck, you got to get Caleb Williams. DJ Moore, who's a great wide receiver, say, yo, I don't think either of them better. But guess what will happen if one of them get drafted? Hey, how you doing, man? I'm DJ Moore. You know what I'm saying? Nice to meet you. Can't wait to work with you. And then if that ball zip off that damn hand, and you're like, oh, nice to meet you, fam. All that shit I was talking about, Justin, hey, that was last year. We was on the same team. Nigga, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Of course.
But, man, we got Arizona this week. Y'all lost to Arizona.
We lost to Joshua Dobbs in Arizona.
Yeah, y'all lost to
Joshua Dobbs is currently on the third string.
Yeah,
for the Minnesota Vikings, and we lost to him.
Mm-hmm. That's messed up. Sad. Now, here's the funny part about this game. Other than, I took the under on Arizona winning four games. I took the under. Mm-hmm. I need that bread. But here's the funny part about this Arizona-Chicago game. No, Arizona, well, Chicago. Chicago is two games back of that third pick. Chicago could lose that game and help out their draft position. Mm-hmm. Hell.
It's a lot of, it's a lot of scenarios for you right now.
A lot of scenarios, fam. So for draft positioning for the Chicago pick, might not be bad to lose against the Arizona Cardinals. Because then if you lose to the Arizona Cardinals and the Arizona Cardinals, you know, eke out one more win, you can get Marvin Harrison Jr. Easy. You know, so that's interesting itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, we'll see what happens there. They got in their schedule, they got the Bears, Philly, and Seattle. They might not win another game, Mike. Mm-hmm. Washington got the Jets, winnable game. But them last two games.
The Jets are barbecue chicken, nigga.
Yes.
The Jets might not win another game this year.
So Washington, you win that game against the Jets, then you got San Francisco and Dallas. And then the Bears, Arizona, and then Atlanta and Green Bay. Hey, man. Hey. Might not be such a bad idea, Chicago, if you want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Got a lot of scenarios going into these next few weeks of football right now.
You can trade that number one pick. Move up to three. Get Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, man. And Washington gives you three number one. Hey, man. If the Bears could get Marvin Harrison Jr. and three number one picks, that's bad. Boy, I tell you, boy, that. Boy. Man. Matter of fact, if you look at like the Giants who might want to look at a quarterback, you know, might, Atlanta
might want to look at a quarterback.
Yeah, or Atlanta who might want to look at a quarterback and you pick it third, or you move down to like four and you form. Oh man, hey, you seen that movie Draft Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be draft. Hey, you could just mess around and just get a spades hand with some of these picks.
Yeah.
Bears with the number one pick trades to the Washington Commanders for their 2024, 2025, and 2026 draft pick. Mm-hmm. Then they moved to four, and they got the third and the fourth pick. With the third pick, the Chicago Bears select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Chicago Bears are back on the clock. Oh, man, the Jets looking at that pick like, damn, I wonder what Atlanta going to do. Mm-hmm. Atlanta like, man, wonder what Vegas going to do. Vegas like, man, we'll give y'all everything right now. I will give y'all everything. Mm-hmm. We'll give y'all a number. We'll give y'all three number ones right now. That's how much we want Jalen Daniels, because he's not going to drop the 12. The Chicago Bears have traded the number three pick or the number four pick to the Las Vegas Raiders for a number one pick in 2024, 2025, 2026. Man, we will be out. Hey, all right, before we move on, if done right, the Chicago Bears can look like the Oklahoma City Thunder when it comes to number one picks. Mm-hmm. If done right.
Okay.
You have enough number one picks to build whatever the hell you want.
With money to spend.
If they lose, right, with money to spend, if you lose correctly, never know what might happen, y'all. Washington Commanders. Hey, yo. Magic. Call me, fam. All right, man, let's move on from this football shit, because, you know, football can definitely be a bit depressing for both of us right now.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about this Scarface Tiny Desk, man. Did you watch Scarface?
Yeah, I watched it.
Who has the greatest voice in rap?
Greatest voice?
Voice.
That's an interesting question.
The reason why I asked you that question is because to me, that was the best part of the Tiny Desk.
Okay.
It ain't just the music, because all of the songs he played is his biggest hits.
Yeah.
And they're great songs.
Absolutely.
But there's something about Scarface's voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just Scarface to me, quite possibly may have the best voice in hip hop history. Scarface is the only artist that made me scared during this song.
He definitely has a standout voice when it comes
to rap.
I've
never seen the man cry.
Yeah.
I remember when I first heard that on WGCI. It was late at night and we were driving home and the Never Seen a Man Die came on. Then came on the rap down.
Yeah.
And that song scared the shit out of me because of his voice. I never seen a man cry till I see that man, die. The fuck is you talking about? What you talking about, rapper? A man die? Cry? This song is scary as hell.
Yeah.
But Scarface, to me, has the best voice, or one of the best voices, in hip-hop history.
I can see that.
Like, when you listen to rap, you know, for me, it's more than just the bars, like, you know, charisma and all that shit. But to me, yeah. And that's why I asked that question, because when he was doing those songs, for those who are listening to the pod today, and you've seen that Tiny Desk of Scarface, go watch it again. And don't just listen for the music. Don't just, you know, My Block and Fuck Faces and all of that. Listen to the cadence.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the voice. Listen to Scarface. That right there is what I'm talking about. One of the greatest voices in hip hop.
Yeah.
You know who it is as soon as you hear it. Like, so now knowing that and getting that context, who are some of the rappers that you think has like the best voice?
I think Andre 3000, his voice sticks out as far as like rapping, not just rap, obviously, but I think he has a very unique voice. 50's voice is a he has a unique, like, you know, kind of dark, but like, you know, but like mumble, but it's still fluent though. You know what I'm saying? 50 always, he got one of those scary, but you know, nice, like his voice stands out. Who else?
Mystical.
Mystical, absolutely.
Mystical's what? Busy Bone.
Yep. Okay. Shit. Who else? That's a E40. E40 got the standout voice. Who else got like voices that stand out? That's what I could think off the top of my head.
DMX.
Absolutely.
DMX and Busta, yeah. DMX and Busta.
Yeah. Shine. Shine's voice was... I mean, so I remember when Shine first came out, obviously they used to compare him to Biggie. They used to think he sounded like Biggie, but I think Shine, he has a standout. His voice stand. Mace's voice is crazy on the rap. Mace got one of the different voices too, I think. Like, you know, you go back and listen to Harlem World, like, Mace was different. Voice wise, but yeah, though, you could throw out a lot of names, though, man.
Yeah,
just to piggyback off what you were saying about the Scarface with the, like, me watching that Tiny Desk. I mean, I'm still in the moment of watching Scarface be so active, and it just makes me smile. You know what I'm saying? No pun intended. But
yeah,
it's because the health scare, G. Like, just seeing him being able to do this and just like, it just makes me happy to see, bro. And he looks great.
He was on the Tom Joyner cruise, and I didn't want to go up to him and be like, yo, it's Scarface, because I'm a big fan. And also, Scarface told me to shut the fuck up one day.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a long story. Yeah. It was only because I was upset and he was trying to calm me down. Then he was like, man, your brother, shut the fuck up. And I was like,
well, he said it's not like, okay.
That was Brad Jordan that told me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Okay. No disrespect.
No disrespect. It wasn't no disrespectful shit. Okay. But I did kind of like stand out. But it's not just because of the music, it's because of the health issues. And we lose so many people in hip hop. Now health issues and then shootings and all of that stuff like that. So to see somebody like Face still active and doing it is amazing.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I hope that Tiny Desk does for Scarface is for people who didn't know him to know him. I hope them streams get up.
Mm-hmm.
But to respect the artistry, man. One of the reasons why I brought up that voice shit is because it wasn't just because of the songs. It was how he delivered them joints.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't animated like how Juvenile and Manny Fresh them was, or, you know, he wasn't like, you know, doing the damn near of a conga line and all of that shit. He rapped them songs.
Mm-hmm.
He told a piece of the story. Mike Dean, shouts out to the Backyard Band, all of those people who were involved, Big G, and all those folks. It was just simple yet effective for me.
Yeah.
And again, his voice. Like, that's what I said. Go back and look at that Tiny Desk or listen to it on your iPod, your iPhone, because, you know, they do podcast audio.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to him perform Never Seen a Man Die. Just look, close your eyes,
mm-hmm,
and listen to Scarface Tiny Desk perform Never Seen a Man Cry Till I Seen a Man Die. And listen to that man's voice. And I guarantee you, you will dream of a masterclass of how you perform,
mm-hmm,
and how you inflect and how you project your voice. That's one of the reasons why Scarface is one of the greatest rappers of all time. And I think that Tiny Desk is going to put him in front of people that didn't necessarily know he existed, because there's a lot of white people that listen to Tiny Desk. Mm-hmm. It's going to get him his flowers in hip hop, too. But if you are an artist, man, you go listen and you go watch that Tiny Desk.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was good to see him doing that. Once again, like, just seeing him out here is great. Hopefully that leads to him doing, you know, more performances, you know, and, you know, that people get to actually see Scarface doing his thing. Like, you know, that's dope. So shout out to Scarface. Shout out to Tiny Desk. Well put together, man. Well put together. Like you said, simple, but effective. Shit. And being able for him to showcase, you know what I'm saying, the voice that he does have. Yep. So absolutely.
Before we talk about this holiday, I want to publicly apologize to Reggie Theus.
Yeah. Give me a little rundown on this, because I'm still slightly confused about this.
All right, so this is what happened. So the Bulls, this was years ago, man. This, like, whenever Reggie Theus was the coach of the Sacramento Kings.
When was he coach of the Kings?
Man, let me go look this up.
What year was this?
Let me look this up. Reggie Theus era as a coach. There we go. 2007. There we go. This is 2007-2008.
Sure.
I think it's 2007. But I was working at Best Buy at the time, and we end up getting tickets. To a Bulls game. We had pretty good tickets, damn near right behind the Sacramento Kings bench.
Mm-hmm.
And they was getting in our ass, man. So I was talking shit about Reggie Theus. Told Reggie Theus he still got a luster curl, an S curl, a Duke inside of his head, mm-hmm, with the lining. I talked about his suits. Told him he had the Steve Harvey special on.
Mm-hmm.
I even talked shit about him about hang time. those who don't remember Hang Time on NBC, after Saved by the Bell, he was the coach on there for a little bit. Hang Time. Bill Fuller.
Yeah.
I was getting my jokes off, man. And he heard it. I know he heard it. Well, at least at the time, I was like, yeah, he hear that shit. Yeah. And they end up winning the game.
Yeah.
It was mad as hell. Didn't work. So shouts out to my man Travell. He's in Phoenix right now. He lives in Phoenix. And Wait, hold on, rewind real quick.
Where were you saying all this stuff at? You were saying this stuff where?
I was at the game. It was at the United Center.
You were at the game, at the United Center. Where were you sitting?
I was sitting like the, you know, not right behind the bench, but that level right behind the group that sit behind the bench.
All right, go ahead.
And yeah, I was talking my shit, fam. Steve Harvey suit wearing ass nigga.
Yeah.
Hang Time sucked. They ain't win no state championship because of your bum ass.
So you heckled Reggie Theus while he was coaching.
While he was coaching, fam. All
right, go ahead.
You still got a Duke on your head, fam. You still got the little curl. Yeah, this was the little part.
Back in Bang's ignorant days.
Yeah, who you think you is? Dominique Wilkins with this curl box in your head, fam?
Oh, my God. Steve,
yeah, I was getting them. So Travell works at the airport, I guess. He works. He drives the shuttle buses or whatever. And he was listening to some dude. And Reggie Theus heard my voice, apparently. Matter of fact, I'm going to read y'all what Travell said. So y'all could get the context. Because I still don't know whether I believe him or not. But it came out of nowhere. Because this is like the first time that me, like, Travell is the brother of my man's baby mama. So, you know, we all went to the game. Shouts out to Kia. I think he was there too. So this is what he says. I'm at work helping out at the airport doing shuttles for some event here in Phoenix. Lots of high-profile people getting to their hotels. So as I'm doing my second run, I'm watching the pod. My man Reggie Theus gets on the bus, Mike B. Says something to J.R. Davis, me. And Bang said, hey. Reggie stopped and looked at the tablet and looks at me and at the tablet and said, Chicago, Sacramento versus Bulls. Y'all was talking about my suit and hair. I started dying, and he says, tell that motherfucker talk about these suits now.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious, man.
That shit was in 2007, Mike.
We got to find some way to get Reggie Theus on the pod, G.
It was 2007, Mike.
Somehow, some way, we gotta talk. We gotta have a conversation with Reggie Theus about this.
So let me have a good laugh about this. I'm gonna be better than some people because it's 2007, and if Travell ain't bullshitting, Reggie Theus heard my voice, and it was like that's the same motherfucker that was.
That is crazy.
So let me publicly apologize to Reggie Theus.
Yeah,
it was. I was trying to get the competitive advantage to my Bulls.
So you trying to throw the coach off?
I was trying to.
Out of all of the players, you can heckle. You can heckle the players. Shit, you can heckle the guys on the bench. You know, but you decided to heckle Reggie Theus, the head Reggie coach Theus. At the time. You want to throw him off his game?
Yep. I want to throw Reggie Theus off his game. That team had Brad Miller on it. Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Mike Bibby, John Salmons.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's hilarious, man.
Friend, that was two. That I think Ron Artest was on that team.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I feel bad.
He didn't mean no harm. Look, if you knew Bang,
I mean no harm.
If you knew Bang back in 2007, 2008. He's a more mature adult now.
I got kids.
He married with children. Man.
Matter of fact, I just looked it up. I think I know exactly what game that was. Yes, it was. It was January 8th. I mean, January 5, 2008. Because it was snow that day, that game. And it was at home. They beat me. No. We won that game, excuse me.
Well, I guess it worked.
It worked. My bad, Reggie. Hey, it worked.
He was very ignorant.
Yeah. We won that game by one. Yes, we won that game by one. Damn, Reggie. Yeah. Hold on. I think it's on YouTube. That game might be on YouTube. Hell, I'm gonna look it up. Yo, look at this game. Hey man, Reggie Theus, I want to apologize. If this is true, and Travell is right, I want to apologize to Reggie Theus. I want to publicly apologize to him. It was no way in the world that I should have been immature enough to be, you know, to do what I did, you know what I'm saying, to try to get the competitive advantage to that game. But yeah, I was on my A game on that one, Mike.
15 years later, and you still...
I was on my A game.
You still live rent-free in Reggie Theus' head from that game, G. That's crazy to me, fam, that he can remember that. Obviously, that moment in time and his coaching career lives rent-free. Because who heckles head coaches at basketball games? Bang does. Who does that? Out of all the people that the ignorant stuff that you can do at a basketball game, the mean things that you can say, your target was Reggie Theus. And 15 years later, that lives rent-free in his head. And all he had to do was hear your voice streaming on a podcast for all those memories to come back. That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Reggie Theus, on behalf of Bang and Some Dupa, I apologize. He know not what he did back then. He is a very mature man now. He was very ignorant back then, all right? Not ignorant, ignorant. We created a whole word because of him. Ignorant. He didn't mean no harm, all right? He didn't mean no harm. So if you ever get to see this, he's sorry.
I am. I apologize. See, Keith Sweat never apologized to me. I apologize to Reggie Theus. Before we get out of here, man, first of all, happy birthday, Mike B.
Appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? The next podcast will be after his birthday. So happy birthday to you, Beyonce, Fox, and Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's one. And two.
Shout out to Jesus.
And two, man, I want to start a tradition, Mike.
Okay.
Like, one of the things I've been thinking about over the last couple of days is tradition. And my own shit. Like, don't have to always go over my parents' house to do some shit for the holidays. Or maybe we ain't got to go over to the folks' house. Maybe it's like, yo, you go out of town as a family or whatever. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Some shit. Well, maybe it's not even the holidays. Maybe it's like some shit just like on a random March 13th or something.
Yeah.
But I want to do I want to do something that kicks off a tradition.
Yeah.
You know, that is fun. You know, maybe it's the homies doing like a homies trip every year or something. I need some ideas. I need some ideas. I want to just do something that's just like every year this happens.
Yeah. You need to try like a barbecue. Try to do something like a barbecue, maybe like a trip. Obviously a family trip would always be nice. You know what I'm saying? Like I try to go on a trip every year with my family, with my daughter. She loves to travel. And 9 times out of 10, though, when we go on trips with her, it's because of her. Like, she got a bowling trip or something like that, you know? So it's always in that aspect. But, like, yeah, like, but just on some leisure type stuff, like, yeah, man, like a family trip, maybe like a annual barbecue, you know what I'm saying? Something for your birthday, maybe. You could kick it off. You got a home now, you know? You got space. I seen the view of the backyard. You know, you get to look across at other people's homes. It's a nice view, man. Look like you can have a little shindig over there. You know what I'm saying? Something like, you know, hey, we'll pick a holiday like Christmas. Who wants to be in Chicago during Christmas? I sure don't. That's why I'm going to buy it. you know, pick a nice weather-friendly city, and just like, you know, do a little quick weekend, you know, cabins, you know, Airbnb type stuff, you know, something like that. I understand what you're saying, man. I get that. I would talk with my wife too. Like, yeah, that'd be dope.
I'm gonna figure it out, especially for the holidays.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for the holidays.
Yeah.
I want to do something that just sticks out.
Yeah.
Think it'll feel good. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get it, man. You got to go celebrate your birthday, man. I'm going to think about something for the holidays, but go ahead and celebrate your birthday today. Go ahead and end us off, G.
Hey, man, y'all already know, man. Some Dude Pod, make sure y'all rate, make sure y'all like, make sure y'all subscribe. The Barbershed Network is where you can find us. All right, everywhere you can get your favorite podcast, that's where Some Dude Pod is. I'm Mike B, that's JR Bang. We on IG at Some Dude Pod, at Mike B underscore CHR, at JR Bang. Same thing for Twitter, Facebook, at Some Dude, Facebook group, hashtag Some Dude Pod. And that's it, man. Hope everybody out there have a Merry Christmas. Hopefully Santa Claus bring you something nice, bang. What do you want for Christmas, man?
I want my... what are you doing? Oh.
What do you want Santa Claus to bring you this year, man?
Oh, no.
Peace. I understand. All right, are the kids going to have a Merry Christmas this year? You know, everybody...
My damn pocket's already broke.
I understand. Hey, be like that. The things we do for our children. Yeah. And you got little ones. A good thing my daughter's 12. This will be the first Christmas I don't wake up and I'll be at home, like with my child, like opening the gifts with her. You know what I'm saying? So by the time I get home, she'll have already opened up her gifts.
Oh, but, yeah, because
but that's okay. I'll be
at my... on FaceTime.
But hey, man, but yeah, man, that's it, man. I'm Mike V. That's JR Bang. This is Some Dude Pod, man, and we gone.
Peace.
Peace.
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is Some Podcast. We out. Peace.